Hello, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to the Wagon Wheel Podcast presented to you by Bills Wire at USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and alongside with me every single week, I got my buddy. I almost called you Dan because your Zoom is all different. I got my buddy Dave with me. Dave, my man, how are you feeling? What a good game. A nice competitive. No, it wasn't competitive. It was a one-sided shellacking by the Buffalo Bills to finish the sweep of the New England Patriots. How are you feeling right now?
Feel great. I mean, this is where I hoped we'd be last season, I think, in terms of how we would play against the Patriots. Now, obviously, you're talking about two different teams, two different quarterbacks from last year to this year. But, you know, the Bills get the season sweep of New England. They do it to the tune of 38-9, which is not easy to do against a Bill Belichick team. No. I think any year, even a down year for them like this one. And we improved to 12-3. So I feel great because at the beginning of the year when we did some preseason predictions and I picked what I thought the Bills record was going to be, I said 12-4 was what I kind of estimated early on. And you know, depending on how things go with Miami next week, they have a chance to even do better than that and end up finishing 13-3 prospectively. Absolutely. So great. I feel awesome.
Good. I mean, as every Bills fan should, like we were talking before the show, like there's not a whole lot to break down about this game, which is really, really nice. Like the first Bills Patriots game this year. Yes, there was a lot to, you know, dissect, analyze. It was close. It was a very close game. The Bills came out swinging for the fences today, and, you know, it was a take-no-prisoner attitude, just go, 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 go. And there wasn't one point in this game where the Patriots were, you know, to me, were a viable threat to what Buffalo could do. Like, Buffalo moved the ball at will. Buffalo's defense stopped the Patriots' offense from moving, got Cam Newton benched throughout the, you know, by the time the evening was done with for Jarrett Stidham. It was weird for me watching this broadcast and hearing the commentators really coming down hard on Bill Belichick and how this team has been this year. Like, it was really surprising. Like, I understand it. You know, that's it. It's definitely deserved of its criticism, the way, you know, this team hasn't been able to draft, the way this team hasn't been able to put together a full roster, and I'm referring to the Patriots. But it was refreshing to hear, you know, Buffalo kind of being that team a little bit that everybody's kind of patronizing, putting over. But it's a very 2020 thing, right? Just the whole changing of the guard. No more Patriots aren't, at least for the time being, a threat to the AFC East or the rest of the NFL for that matter. And Bills are number one. So, yeah, I'll take it.
I think you made a great point, Matt, just talking about the difference between even the last time we played them and now. You know, Josh Allen in his post-game interview called this a three-phase win tonight, and I thought that was a pretty apt description. And people have asked, following the Thanksgiving game against Dallas last year, the big wins this season over the Seahawks and Steelers, if those were statement wins. And I definitely felt that way about the Dallas one. You know, the Seahawks one obviously stands apart as probably my other favorite game with Allen under center that we've seen so far in his career. And even with those being statement wins, this one certainly seemed to kind of stand out as like sort of an under the radar statement win, getting the season sweep, getting it against New England. You know, I remember being at this game around this time last year in Gillette, and I honestly thought we were going to go in and take it, and we had a great shot and just didn't quite look the same as our first matchup the first time around. And, you know, I really wanted to get it against Tom Brady, too.
Oh, that was something. Everybody did.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was Tom still, you know. And but this is special, I think, because it is a statement. It's a statement that we're here for the AFC East every year. We're here to stay. And to compete in that, that's part of what we're looking to do every year. Sean McDermott said this week, after last week's win, when they won the division crown, that that's been a goal of theirs since he became the coach, because he wanted to bring playoff games back to Buffalo, home games back to Orchard Park.
Absolutely. So
that's something that really jumped out at me. And, we beat them in exciting fashion earlier this season. Just on a 24-21 sealing it with a Cam Newton strip fumble, which was still a little close for comfort.
Yeah,
because they were on a drive to try and win the game. Yeah. So this was a just to see the difference, I mean to say, between earlier this season and now, the second time around, is so significant that that's really encouraging going into the playoffs too.
And I think that's a great point too, right? You play some of these teams like twice a year. Obviously, you get your AFC East, the Jets with the Pats, and now next week Miami. To see how far, obviously every game is different. Every game is game planned for differently, different personnel, different strategy, this and that. This was a huge sign of growth, I think, for the for the Bills, because even back then, so long ago. When they played the Patriots the first time, we still didn't know what this Buffalo Bills team was, right? We didn't know the defense wasn't, the defense wasn't playing anywhere close to the level where we believed it could be, where it is playing now. And the offense was still, it wasn't perfect. It was run well. It was definitely the finest aspect of this team. And then to see this happen now, it takes the wind out of your sails a little bit. If you're a Patriots fan watching this game and seeing how the difference, if I was watching, after watching the first encounter all them weeks ago, there's like optimism, right? It's like, oh man, maybe not that it matters, but maybe the Patriots can play spoiler here just a little bit. Maybe they can go in and play a competitive football game. And then the Bills beat you on national TV like that. It's happened so many times the other way around. It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen this year and eventually, but definitely a rash turnaround, a very big turnaround for this team. The growth thing, I think, is the most important thing, because that's been our biggest discussion point, I think, this year is things aren't great, but the building blocks are in place. All right, there's good things that can be redeemed from every game, no matter how bad that they look. And the building block showed today. The building block showed with this. When Matt Barkley goes in the fourth quarter, that's domination right there. And that's not an insult to Matt Barkley, but Josh Right. Allen could have just kept chucking it to Stephon Diggs and company and racking up stats and points and whatnot. But they. When's the last time you've seen Buffalo do that against a Patriots team? It has probably been a lot longer than either of us have been alive. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, it's exciting. Obviously Allen's had a career year. Diggs is having a career year. Beasley, if I'm not mistaken, either is or is about to hit career highs in his receiving yards on the year too. So, going into this one, Allen had 4,000 yards already on the season. He only needed 359. Going into this game to break the franchise record for yards in a season, which is 4,359 by Drew Bledsoe in 2002. He was also only three touchdown passes from tying Jim Kelly's passing touchdowns franchise record, which is 33 in 1991. Well, he'd break Kelly's record in this game, and he went 27 for 36, 320 yards passing, four touchdowns. He needs only 40 yards passing in next week's game to break Bledsoe's season passing mark. Diggs had 145 yards receiving on 9 catches and 11 targets. He'd break the franchise record in this one for receiving yards in a single season. So
yeah. Cool. And I think he already has a receptions run, right? The receptions in a single season record as well. Yeah. I think he got that last week. This team was firing on all cylinders. It's not even worth going drive by drive, because it's just a whole lot of bad Patriots stuff. It's a whole lot of good Bills stuff. And so we're not going to do that. But yeah, I just really, this is cool. It's a cool time to be alive. And the Bills have been stringing together these dominant victories like this in recent weeks. That's why there's a lot of optimism right now, you know, for the Bills to not just to play. Obviously, the playoff push is there, but Super Bowl, right? Looking around, let's take a little walk around the rest of the AFC, which is an absolute hodgepodge of excitement right now for general football fans. Four of the seven possible playoff spots are still undetermined. There are five teams. Is it five? Yeah, there's a cycle of five teams. One of them's not going to make it in. All right, right now it's Tennessee, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Miami. Whole mess of stuff going on right now. But I wanted to, I think not to overlook anybody, but the one team that everybody's going to point their fingers at, the one that everybody wants a piece of, is Kansas City. And you look Kansas City's been playing lately. It's not very good. It's not very good. Patrick Mahomes has not looked the same. He's not looked the same. They came up with a random stat today that he has the most dropped potential interceptions in either single season or for all of his career. That's how wild he's getting. This Bills defense, if they get a crack at that, if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come at them like that, it's not going to fly. Kansas City's defense is not playing well. Like, this Bills team is built for the long haul. It's built for the long haul. Pittsburgh's going to approach them differently. We get that. If they catch Tennessee, Tennessee's going to approach them differently. But as we've been saying for the last month, no team is playing more complete football than the Buffalo Bills. Complimentary, all three phases, defense, offense, special teams. It's all just working. It's all just clicking. And, I'm not going to get people too overhyped where we're overconfident like we were last year when Buffalo went in, got a big lead on Houston and blew it. You know, I think this is a different team, but things could always happen. But I feel like on paper, the Bills are the best team in the AFC and possibly the NFL. But in the AFC, they are number one.
If you were to ask me right now, I'd say that they could be in just single situation, right? Game day situation matchups, any team in the league. I think the one that gives them the most competition is Green Bay if they were to get to the Super Bowl. Green Bay and New Orleans both look like they could make a good run at that the other side of the league right now. And you're absolutely right. In the AFC, you look around at these teams, Kansas City really, and any given game, I mean, it could go either way. It could just be the team that's better that day that shows up and plays harder that day. But right now, it looks like Kansas City is the only viable competition for us. And even in our matchup with them earlier this season, we weren't playing to our ability. We didn't look like the team we are now. And I really believe that if we had played like this in that game, we would have won because the score was pretty close. We actually defended and handled that game and managed that game well enough where we were in it by the end of it. It'll be really interesting to see how this shakes out because we have the tiebreaker against Pittsburgh. So if we win next week, we actually get the number two seed.
That is correct. Yep.
Yeah, which basically just means, you know, that if we were to end up facing Kansas City AFC Championship game, they would have had to play other teams before they get to us. And that would be an interesting matchup that I think I'd feel pretty good about, presuming that we have a couple good games in the playoffs there to kind of get our feet wet. Because we don't know what team we're going to see just yet. And that's why I think it's important to manage expectations. We should have won that game against the Texans last year. And they went in and it just kind of unraveled on them. And it was interesting that you brought that up. One of the things that I heard mentioned in tonight's game broadcast was how Josh Allen was quoted as saying that he would go into games really just too ramped up early in his career. So he started listening to Frank Sinatra in his locker room before games, and it seems to have worked. And it's, they're making those adjustments at halftime. You and I have talked about that they needed to make, and they're starting to look good in the second half. That's what really has me feeling encouraged is that each week since the bye, that was the thing you and I were really focused on and talking about is, hey, what are we going to do about this third quarter situation? What are we going to do about the second half? And they've done it.
They certainly have. That was a cool little prospect, idea, just thing that was brought up about the music, he does. He just seems more composed. He's more eloquent, and yeah, I mean, if you look at his game film from last year to this year, his composure, he was so frantic last year, right? He was so frantic. He made so many mistakes, and people had their doubts about him still. But this year, he's a total general, right? Like I'm not going to go that far, but he has a control of the offense like a lot of great quarterbacks have had in the past. Like what he does, and that's, I'll attribute it to that. He's put in the work. Let's just say that he's put in the work, and he wants to be here. There's so many quarterbacks you hear who don't put in the work. They did the off season. They do a little bit here and there, but like Josh Allen, he knows. He knows what has to be done to improve. He can't ever get complacent. That's just not the Buffalo blue collar style. And he put in the work, and the Bills franchise is just reaping the benefits from it. So he's solid. His growth has probably been one of my most favorite things to watch. Like if I had to pick a most improved player, if they did a most improved player across the NFL, and I said every week, I'm not a Bills fan by any means, but Josh Allen would get it, because he went from looking, if I was organizing quarterbacks into tiers last year, he went from like a 3 or a 4 to like a 1 right now in amongst current NFL quarterbacks. So that's how well he's playing. That's how well he's playing.
Absolutely. And he looked good in this one. And to tip a hat and give credit where credit's due to Brian Daboll, our offensive coordinator, they really spread the ball out passing in this game. In addition to Diggs's work, Knox had 51, Davis had 33, Smith had 31, McKenzie had 26, Beasley had 17. He had a couple other guys at about 20 plus yards as well receiving. So, and this is without John Brown. John Brown came off injured reserve, but they have him on the COVID reserve list. They're phasing him back in. He's expected to be back next week for our final regular season game against the Miami Dolphins. But even without him, that they're continuing to play this well, that they're continuing to spread the offense and move the ball around. I mean, who thought we'd be talking after a game where Cole Beasley only had 17 receiving yards? I mean, that's how much they spread the ball out in this game.
Yeah. I mean, Stephon Diggs did get a big chunk of it. It is what it is, but you are right. Yeah, he didn't get too many looks, and that's okay. Like, that doesn't bother Cole Beasley. That doesn't bother him. He don't care as long as they win. This is the best team Cole Beasley's ever been on. He was on some Dallas Cowboys teams. He was on some pretty good Dallas Cowboys teams. Best team he's ever been on. Stephon Diggs on some really good Minnesota Vikings teams. Best team. This is the best team he's ever been on. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Like we got like Lee Smith. He got a touchdown tonight, which I think was only him and Diggs who got receiving touchdowns. He got one. Diggs got three. But yeah, everybody's getting looks. Everybody's getting repetitions. And that's how you stump defenses in the NFL, right? It's not about, yeah, it's great to have a true number one, but it's everybody else. It's how the other pieces are fitting into your puzzle, into your plan. That really brings out success, and the other pieces are stepping up when need be. They don't need big numbers. They don't even need touchdowns all the time, but they move the chains when they need to. And they're there. And that's why they are part of this team. It really is. Just kudos to that. We're hoping John Brown comes back soon. He was activated off IR this week, so that means that they do plan on playing him at some point. Maybe give him some reps in the Miami game, but that means he's got to be ready for postseason. We're excited to get him back into the mix as well. He had COVID. That's right. I apologize. He came off IR, diagnosed with COVID. But he is in the plans to come back at some point, which is exciting because we know how well this offense runs with him in it as well. So lots of optimism going forward.
Yeah, I expected the Patriots to be better than they were tonight, just because Bill Belichick's coaching them, to be frank. I've watched so many times over the years where that guy has taken an average player and turned him into a Pro Bowler just by having him play in the system.
For sure.
You know, the Bills, though, they've been the best team in the NFL on third down. They've been good in the red zone with no turnovers. Sometimes they've had to settle for field goals. That's something that we'd see once early in this one on their first drive on offense. But overall, the Bills were just better. 19 passing first downs to New England's three, 11 rushing first downs to New England's six, 3 for 3 on fourth down efficiency, 344 passing yards to the Patriots' 56, and then averaging 8.6 yards per play to New England's 2.3. We dominated time of possession, 39 minutes and 41 seconds to the Patriots, 20 minutes and 19 seconds. And on defense, Milano, Jefferson, and Marlowe all added sacks. Overall, it was a good day on both sides of the ball.
It was. It certainly was. You know, this Patriots offense isn't really anything, you know, to brag about. The defense is just well coached. That's been Bill Belichick's MO, right? He's really good at figuring out the defensive pieces and whatnot. So, yeah, just a good total showing on that part. Let's see.
Ooh, I meant to ask you, who was your player of the game for this one, Matt?
I went with Josh. I went with Allen. It wasn't that hard to It's like I hate giving it to the same guy every week, the same guys. It's literally been the Josh Allen and Diggs show. But how could you not, right? He comes in, he just beats on this team. He sets another team single season record, a phenomenal game. You know, that's you know, the last couple of weeks have been these team victories, but you look at moments and it's just Josh Allen just torching this defense. Made him look goofy. Made him look goofy. Which is good. So I thought he was definitely deserving of it. You know, there's a couple other players. Diggs could have got it very easily and whatnot. But yeah, I think it was very comfortable handing it to Josh Allen tonight.
Did you have a favorite play that stood out to you, or a couple of favorite plays that stood out to you in this one?
It was so it felt like such a blur. Like it was just so dominant. There wasn't like one single play that I can really identify. Probably the last one where he hit Diggs and we didn't think Diggs caught it. It almost looked like it had been picked off for a second, but Diggs comes up with the touchdown. They're like, okay, you guys are done. You did your job. You're off the field. Matt Barkley, go in, do your thing. And I thought that was pretty extraordinary, unexpected. But yeah, like Diggs was another one who just performed very, very well today. How about yourself?
You know, the thing that probably stood out to me that I loved, and we saw this a bit, I believe, last week and in recent weeks, is they've gotten more aggressive on fourth down. This is something that's kind of been not a new thing, but just a new, what I would describe, I guess, as a new development, is that in recent games, they've become noticeably, like visibly more aggressive going for it on fourth down. And they did that a few times tonight, I believe, including a fourth and five with about 3:53 left in the first quarter fake punt, where they direct snap to Jaquan Johnson, who threw it to Cyron Neal for 13 yards and a first down to keep that drive alive right at the, you know, end of the first quarter, where they would then score on that drive on a Zach Moss 5-yard run into the end zone. So something like that, I mean, that they're going for it, that they're confident enough in their offense to take those chances and go for it and execute and keep the drives alive and then score touchdowns on them. That's pretty great.
I'd say so. I'd certainly say
Yeah.
so. For sure.
That's
For
pretty.
sure. So, real quick, let's preview Miami next week just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
David, do you think that the Bills, how long do you think the starters are in for? Do you think they play them the whole game, or do you think they're just like, ah, we'll take the third seed? There's really not a huge benefit to it. In my personal opinion, I hope that they do. I think that they will, because I'd rather be home for 2 weeks and then travel to Kansas City instead of going to Pittsburgh. You know, staying home 1 week, going to Pittsburgh the next, going to Kansas City. I think there's a little bit to play for the Buffalo Bills, even though it may not be a bye. Travel we do know has can sometimes have its wear and tear on teams, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, there's definitely things to play for. There's definitely some stakes. You know, they're not as big as they were maybe 3 or 4 games ago,
Correct.
but they still are valuable enough to play for. I think, depending on how that game goes, we could see something similar tonight, where by the time we're getting to the fourth quarter, we could see Matt Barkley running the ball with Singletary and Moss. And it really here's what I here's the thing. I say that with a caveat, because of one man with an extraordinary beard who deserves to be starting in Miami, who never should have been benched. And this is 100% subjective opinion, but I'm former Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzmagic, who took over that game late for Miami last week.
So good.
Oh my gosh, like it just totally turned the game around and won it for the Dolphins. You know, he's reunited with former Bills offensive coordinator Chan Gailey. He had a career season being reunited with him for one season with the Jets. So I it depends. It depends on what happens, because they plan to start Tua. We've gotten enough games under the belt with him under center now, I believe, to put together a good game plan to defend and
Yeah,
contain him.
he's so hot and cold. Like he it's so weird. I mean, if Miami waits too long, they could end up costing themselves the game, is basically what I think you're trying to go for, right? You know, if Tua's in there and the Bills just hammer him, it might be too late by then. If Fitzpatrick might not be enough at that point. So it's interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do. They do, like I said, they do plan to do Tua, but this is a big deal for Miami fans. It's a big deal for Ryan Fitzpatrick as well, who has never played in a postseason game. 15,
Really?
he's never played. Yep, he's never been in a postseason game. So this is a big deal, like for him. You know, to play this game against Buffalo, his former team. Like, this is like must-watch television. It really, truly is. I know this wasn't flexed into a later spot. It's not exactly a prime time do or die game, but for Miami, this is a big, you know, a big deal. And I know this is a Bills-centric podcast, but you know, their rebuild is going very, very well. They've turned this team around very, very quickly. A year, I would say, in a year and a half, this team was ready for the big leagues. They actually exceeded my expectations this year. So I think, you know, Miami's going to go all out in trying to get this thing, trying to punch their ticket to the postseason. They've been a very good team lately. So, you know, and we know that Buffalo, I'm not going to say that Buffalo's going to sit here and just let them go into the postseason, but, you know, Buffalo's going to take it to them too. Buffalo's going to take it to them too. If you don't want to play an opponent 3 times in the same season. And Miami's one of those dangerous teams who might be able to adjust very well. Especially the way that they've played against Kansas City, their comeback against, you know, the Raiders. They've just played very, very good football lately. And, you know, I do think the Bills are going to try and box them out of the postseason. It's going to be a good game. It's like, it's not one of those traditional Bills Week 17 games where it just doesn't matter. They're just going to mail it in. This is going to be some good football, in my personal opinion.
There's some interesting little stakes to this one too, right? Right now, Miami has one of the wild card spots. If they lose that game, it gives two other teams some sort of hope and shot at that playoff spot instead. If I'm not mistaken, I think for Miami, it's a win and you're in situation,
That's correct. Yep.
right? So here's what's kind of an interesting dynamic about that is you look at the teams that are trying to get in, you could make a really strong case, probably even stronger than not, that those teams would be bigger threats in the playoffs than the Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins, you could make a case, would be not as tough an opponent as some of those other teams. So that's what makes their win or loss interesting for the Dolphins side of it, and in terms of those other teams trying to make the playoffs. To your point, you know, the question that you asked, one of the things that I think is interesting is, you know, what we saw in this game this weekend with Miami, where they benched Tua for Fitzpatrick late in the game. I think maybe fourth quarter he came in, if I remember
It might have been
correctly.
a little bit later. Yeah, I think it might have been the
Yeah.
entire fourth quarter. It might have been just even a little bit later than that. But yeah,
I mean,
that's
that's
too
about
long. That's a long time to wait.
Yep, that's about the same time that we put Barkley in this one. So that's something too, is if we get a good, if we have a good day and we end up with a good lead on Miami going into the fourth quarter, and we put Barkley in and they put Fitzpatrick in, that'll be another thing too, is to see if he tries to stage another comeback. If he gets back in it, do we put Josh back in to finish it out? Do we, I mean, I'm confident enough in our defense where I think we'll have a little bit of a better time against them than their opponent this week. But that being said, there's just some interesting possibilities. But I think about our games against the Seahawks. I think about our game against the Cardinals, which seemed to really leave a bad taste in the mouth of the team and kind of motivate them not to end up in that situation again where they're
Certainly.
that close. Hopefully those experiences against mobile quarterbacks, including Mahomes earlier this season, will give us some of the tools we need to effectively defend Tua. And I'm confident in our ability to do that. I like that we got to look at the Miami defense once already this season. And hopefully we'll have a good game plan going into that for attacking them on our offense as well.
No, most certainly so. I mean, I think that I would definitely say this defense, the defense has improved a lot since that game. I mean, it's like we've seen some of the teams they put to the, it's really put to the test. It tested Patrick Mahomes with three interceptions and and some other just, beat on the Rams, almost beat on the Seahawks. Like it's been an incredible run. So I want it, it's definitely not going to be a walk in the park, for sure. But it's going to be a good. I think this is a good test for Buffalo. I think going right into the postseason, I'd rather the Bills are playing a tough team, a competitive team, than what we've seen last year with the Jets, where they played Barkley in company for three quarters. They lost. They sat their starters out. They were too. They were just. I'm not gonna say they're rusty, but you know what I mean? It's just better to just keep the momentum rolling. So I'm glad to see that they're gonna be playing a competitive game in week 17. I think it lined up very, very well this year. A lot of the years it is just them and the Jets, and they aren't very fun games. And usually there's not a whole lot on the line. So for this one, it's Buffalo's gotta win for the 2 seed. For Miami, it's win and get in. So big definitely big stakes here for both squads. And like I said before, it's going to make for some very, very exciting football.
Yeah, we had a couple guys leave the field tonight to go back to the locker room to get checked out in Cole Beasley and Jordan Poyer. That's something to watch. Hopefully both are okay. Both something to watch in terms of finding out whether or not it was serious, but also whether or not they'll play next week, if there is something they need to rest up from. Hopefully we will be getting John Brown back. But those are just some things to keep an eye out for. Those are kind of my, if I had a couple question marks, I think those would probably be what they would be at this moment, just with it being fresh and right after the game. Poyer seems, as he is, to be pretty enthusiastic on Twitter. So hopefully
Good.
he's okay right now
That's good.
about the excited. So.
He is a very, very important piece of this defense.
Yeah.
But all right, everybody. I mean, that's a wrap on this episode. There's really not too much we can explore in this one. We'll be back next week. We will know who the Bills are playing. We will know where they are at in the postseason. But we will first, most importantly, know who they will play against in the very first round of the postseason 2 weeks from today. Well, a little bit less than 2. Yeah, man. Time season flies by. I'm excited. For a season that we didn't think we were going to get, I'm delighted right now. So,
Yeah, I remember beginning of the year, I think a lot of people were picking us for a wild card team, if that, right?
yeah.
Or win the division, maybe wild card team. But I don't think anybody had us at 12 wins necessarily
No.
for the most part.
No. Unless they were overzealous, just, the general Bills fans that are just like 16 and 0 every year, Super Bowl parade, that sort of logic, but no, we're happy. We're very delighted. We're excited. We're going to be getting to talk to, more football with you in the postseason. We're going to be talking January football, which is a good thing. We're not used to that around here in Buffalo. So thanks so much for tuning
Excited.
in. We'll talk to you next week, and go Bills.
Go Bills.